Hello and welcome to another edition of FIDE's podcast. My name is Jerry Serino and I'm your host, and I'm here with talent on loan from Rush. I am also here with Second Lieutenant of the Military Police, Julie Kilmer, who is a strong supporter of life, which I love, as you know, as a hopefully an avid listener, and found her her background and her what she's doing very, very interesting, and I wanted to have her on to meet all of us today. So, Julie, thanks for being here.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Excellent. So, let's start a little bit about, you know, I want to go back into your, you know, your upbringing and what got you to this point and a lot of different topics, but let's just start right now with what you're doing. You're the executive director at Centro Tepeyac Women's Center. Explain that.
Yeah, so it's a pregnancy center in Silver Spring, Maryland, and it was founded about 30 years ago, but I actually just got the job in June, so I'm pretty new. But what we do is we help women that are in difficult pregnancies. And so they come in, we give them pregnancy tests, we have parenting classes, health classes, we give them resources, we refer them to different places if they want to have an adoption or anything like that. And we have counseling for them. So really, we're helping anybody that's in any sort of situation with their pregnancy. And a lot of times it's in really crisis situations. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of what we do. And our primary client is Spanish speaking, lower income mother between the ages of 14 and 30. So it's a wide range of ages, but yeah, they come to us usually hearing us through word of mouth. So a lot of them know of Centro Tepeyac through their friends and through church and stuff like that. So I actually didn't know Centro Tepeyac existed, and I've lived here for my whole life. Mm-hmm. But it's because they, in the community, they're really well known in their own community. And so it's really cool to see. It's really all the people coming in know of each other and the people coming to the classes and stuff. But what we're really focused on now is just expanding that to broader range of clients.
Yep. Well, according to Elizabeth Warren and some others on the left, you guys are groups like yours are lying to people and manipulating people and the like. And of course, we know that's not true. You're doing great work. You're doing work that certainly that Planned Parenthood does not even offer to do. You're doing great, great work and helping people, truly helping people who need it. And it's really fantastic work. So let's then go backwards. And so you, as I mentioned in the beginning, you're a second lieutenant in the military. I'd love to know when you got into the military, what made you decide, you know, what motivated you to get in the military, and then your military career. And then I'd like to know even before that. So let's start with the military career. You know, tell me about getting into that.
So it actually comes from, I think, just my childhood. I have 7 brothers, so there's 11 kids, and I just grew up playing army. And so I've always been kind of more, I'd say, as a child, like pretty much like tomboy, just playing sports, playing outside with my brothers, shooting Nerf guns. And so I've just had this love for the army, and with my dad too. He's worked with a lot of people in the military, and we just grew up like watching those type of movies. So that really just what attracted me to it. And so my junior year of high school, I was introduced to ROTC, not in high school, but someone told me like, maybe you should apply for Army ROTC in college, and it pays for your college. And I highly recommend to anybody that is thinking of the military to consider ROTC, because you're able to have like a quote unquote normal college experience, but then you also have your people in the military, and you're waking up early in the morning every single day, you're working out, you're doing trainings on the weekends, you're going to Fort Knox over the summer. So I just think it's a great experience for college students because it really keeps you grounded. And it gives you a really good community to be in. Mm-hmm. And they give you so many different opportunities. So military police is what I initially was really attracted to. And then you don't entirely have a say in what you get, but you're able to give your options. And so then by the time I was a senior, I actually had no idea what I wanted to do. I was like, okay, I'm just going to put down whatever, and they're just going to decide for me because I can't decide on my own. And then I got military police. I was like, wow, that's actually what I wanted ever since I was a little kid. So I'm really excited. So I just commissioned in May as a second lieutenant, and I have bulk training. So that's where all the second lieutenants, active, reserves, National Guard, come together in Missouri, and you train as a military police officer for about 4 or 5 months.
That's really cool. Did any of your, so you said you have 7 brothers, so that means you have 3 sisters. So there's 11, you said. That's amazing. That's fantastic. And anyone else join the military in your family?
Yeah, so my little brother, Steven, he's a Marine. And awesome. He's actually getting deployed to Japan in like a month, I think.
Wow.
So, yeah, I'm hoping maybe one of my little brothers, they're inspired to do that as well. But
excellent. So where do you fall in line in your large family?
So I'm the 4th oldest, and almost all of us are Irish twins. So my other sister, she's older than me, but we're both 22. So we're all just very close in age. Yeah.
Oh, that's amazing. That's fantastic. We have some very close to Irish twins in my family as well, but not quite. So that's really fantastic. Okay. So now I'm even more interested in knowing your upbringing and the like, and because, you know, with 11 kids in your family, interested in knowing what the dynamics were and what role your family had on your pro-life stance. What was it like that caused you to be that person to want to take on a role like this?
Yeah. So I grew up every year. We'd have a family meeting once a year, and our parents would be like, all right, guys, we have some news to tell you. And we all knew what it was, like mom was pregnant again. And we'd all just be so excited for our little brother or sister, preparing for them, and just we knew it was life, like right when she said that, there was no question. And so I just grew up my whole life just really seeing, especially through the example of my own mom, of just seeing pregnancy as such a joy and motherhood as such a joy. And my mom can speak to this, but having 11 kids is not easy. That's hard. It's hard work. I mean, I was definitely a difficult teenager. And the way she just views motherhood and the way she cared for us, like I never thought that, like abortion was never brought up, and I never thought that anyone would do that, because I just grew up my whole life is, well, once mom's pregnant, that's a baby in her womb and got to prepare for another brother most likely. But my dad was also adopted. So he he got moved around to a couple different foster homes, and his story is what really inspired me to dive into the pro-life work, because she was 16 years old when she had him. If she decided to not have my dad, like none of my siblings would exist. I wouldn't exist. And so I just think that that decision for the mothers that are in, like the mothers that come to Center Tepeyac that are really, really difficult, hard situations. They may feel alone. They don't have a husband or a boyfriend, and they don't have a whole lot of money. But your decision to end that life is going to affect so many more people, because you don't know who your child's going to affect, and you don't know who, like, how many children they're going to have, or, you know. So I just think it was really my dad's story, and then how I was raised with just seeing the joy of having so many siblings. Like, I love all my siblings, and I couldn't imagine if one of them weren't in my family.
So how young is the youngest in your family?
He's 13 now. So yeah. Okay. I mean, he's not that old, but we're all basically like teenagers in our 20s. So it's really cool, because we all kind of at the same stage in life all together, which is really cool.
Yeah, that's excellent. So I am curious then about something like the thought that just came up in regards to your military service. Is there a perspective within the military regarding abortion? Has that ever come up?
Yeah, so a lot of times people don't want to get political, and especially if you're in uniform, you aren't really having these type of discussions. But what's really cool is when I was in college, the people that really had my back throughout all the pro-life activism were my Army ROTC friends. And they were the ones that were really helping me with, if I was ever going through something, getting hate for my beliefs or anything happening like that, like they were the ones that always had my back. So I felt that they tended to lean more, more the guys, they would lean more pro-life, but you just didn't really have these discussions in uniform, which makes sense because a lot of times it could dive into other topics. But yeah, I would say generally like that environment, at least what I've seen, because in the environment that I was in, it usually was more pro-life conservative people.
Okay, so I want to ask about your, looks like you have a podcast. I'm looking at your Instagram page here, and it's Lighthouse Podcast. And it looks like you and a couple friends are doing this podcast. So tell me about the podcast, when it started, why it started, and what are the types of things you guys talk about?
So I love answering this question because it's with my sister, actually, and my cousin. And it started about 2 years ago at a family reunion. And that was kind of what I was talking about earlier when I started to really take my faith seriously. And it was a 4-day family reunion at a campsite. My mom was one of 9, so there was about, I think, 75 people. But my cousin and I actually were talking. We spent the whole night talking. And we were like, what is it that everybody else here has? Everyone here is just, they're so joyful. We're like, what is that? Like, they have like 10, 13 kids. It's not like their life is perfect, but we were just so curious. And so we went around, and at each meal we had a cousin give like a motivational talk, and we would give them a topic. And then they would start each talk with the greatest piece of advice that they've ever received. And it was awesome. It was so much fun. And when the reunion was over, we wanted to continue that. So we just started the podcast. And so we would interview our cousins, our uncles, aunts, and then friends started coming on. And we would just ask them to share their faith story, their vocation story, or their relationship and how that came about. And it's really awesome because most of them, I'm related to most of the people that we interview. And it's just really cool because it brings us all together, because then we share it with everybody else, so then everyone else is able to hear their story. Because when there's so many people, you don't really get to sit down for a 45-minute conversation and share your story. So most of them are about people's, their faith or the different relationships. So it's a wide variety.
That's really cool. And it's a great family thing. I didn't know that part of it, that as far as you're doing with your family. And you guys are the only people. So I have 8 kids. You would be the only person that doesn't, you know, whose mouth doesn't drop when I say that. Usually that's the response I get when people ask, or I tell people, you know, you would be like, that was nothing. Or your mom and dad would say that at least. Yeah, that was nothing. You're a lightweight. But that's really cool. I love the idea of the podcast. Are you guys doing them on a schedule, or how do you come about?
Yeah, so it's hard when it's 3 different people with 3 totally different lives. And my sister was just traveling Europe for a while, and my cousin, she's also working a lot, and then I'm starting this job. So it's hard to get on a schedule, but ideally that's what it would be. I think we go through phases. Sometimes we're on a roll and I've done like couple in 1 week, and then 2 months would go by. I'm like, shoot, haven't done my podcast recently. But it's funny because my siblings always make fun of me because I'll be having a conversation with someone and they're like, oh no, the podcaster is coming out. She's about to record this. And I'm like, this would be such a good podcast.
It sounds really cool because it's really a great way, even if you just, you know, have it for family and family listeners. You know, it's a really great way to have, you know, have record of all of you guys over the course of time, right? Because you could store this stuff digitally, obviously, and it will be there forever. And it's a really cool thing. So that's very, very cool. Yeah, I love it. So it's called Lighthouse Podcast. And is it on, it looks like it's on Spotify and other places, but Spotify is probably a good place certainly to check it out. Lighthouse Podcast. And then it's the Instagram page is lighthousepodcast_JMA. And it looks like that's for Julie, Michelle, Anna. Is everyone in your family, all your cousins and stuff, are they all in the area?
No, we have family in Texas, my grandparents in Massachusetts, Indiana, Virginia, Maryland, and yeah, kind of all over. Mm-hmm.
Good. Real, this is really exciting stuff. I appreciate you talking and sharing a bit about your life and what got you to the point of making the pro-life movement and fight a primary aspect of your life. So a great testament to you, to your parents, your siblings, and you're specifically here with the podcast, Lighthouse Podcast, Michelle and Anna and you. Really, really great stuff. Julie, thanks so much for coming on. How else can people connect with you if they want to stay in touch?
Well, if they want to connect to Center Tepeyac, they can always email me, juliekilmer@ctepeyac.org. So that's CTEPEYAC.org. So I'm on my email every single day, so people could just email me. And then our Instagram is, I think it's just Center Tepeyac. So they could always search that up as well.
Yeah, excellent. Yeah, please do. And if you could connect or find out this information, you could find Julie on social media. Julie Kilmer, if you're watching and not just listening, you can see the spelling and everything here for the center, Centro Tepeyac, TEPEYAC. That would be definitely a hard one for me to spell if I didn't have it in front of me. So, Centro, CENTRO, Tepeyac, TEPEYAC. So check them out, support, especially if you're in the Maryland area, support however way you can. If you need Centro Tepeyac, or you want to help or support, it's definitely a worthy cause. So, Julie Kilmer, thanks so much for coming on and sharing your life, your story, and all that you're doing with us. I appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, my pleasure. And thank all of you for listening to this episode of Feed Ace Podcast. Please check out all my podcasts and all the different podcast apps on YouTube, Rumble, Wednesdays at 7 p.m. Eastern on RightAmericanMedia.com and on WHKRadio/podcast.com as well. So thank you again for listening, and we'll see you next time. I know it'll be alright. I know I'm saying when the world's all come out right. So save your breath. So what's wrong my tongue? Save your voice. I speak for everyone. It's the same story, different thing. All this time, everything waits. I've been thinking about how I've been so funny, never thinking about the things that I might have missed. But before I start getting into the same routine, gonna take the time to notice the little things. I know what I'm saying, and I know how time just flies. I know what I'm saying, yeah, you learn after 100 tries. So save your breath, so what's wrong my tone? Save your voice, speak for everyone. It's the same story, different. All this time.